Savage. If you're not fired by rage, you will be. It's Amigos, everything Amiga. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Amigos. I'm John.
And I'm Aaron.
Today, Aaron, we're talking about Savage.
Yes.
You know, Aaron, you are a pretty laid-back guy most of the time.
That's right.
I would classify your demeanor as cool as a cucumber. However, I'm sure there are times when you become fired by rage. Is there anything that causes you to lose control and start to become a savage?
Yes. There's quite a few things, actually. It's funny. I would call myself semi-volatile. Or, like, that's not semi. What's a notch below semi?
Occasionally.
Quasi-volatile. Flag just mentioned it, Chet. The Brent is right at the top of the list. And what gets me is when people, like, won't do the simplest. Like, I'll give you an example, okay? I'll be like, hey, Brent, what was the date of this thing? Right? And instead of just giving me the date, which he readily knows, he'll be like, well, I told you that. Well, you should know. I told you. Did you write it down? Where's it at? I was like, just give me the date. People that do that, I want it. Because, I mean, listen, I just want the date. If I don't need a sermon. I just want the freaking date, brother. Stuff like that really burns me up. I often get real enraged after the fact. Because I can't, due to circumstances beyond my control, I can't get enraged during the thing that makes me enraged. So I have to just sort of bottle it until later, and then I can get real enraged. But normally, go ahead.
Is there something that you do? You know, my mom always told me that hit a pillow when I became enraged. Is there something you do to release your rage?
You know, you ever play Mech Warrior? You know, you got like those heat sinks, right? So when you overheat.
Right.
The more heat sinks you got, it sort of dissipates all the heat, right? I must have like a million anger heat sinks because normally, even something that would enrage you for months, I get calm before I actually get mad. You know what I mean? Like, like even after the fact, and it's funny, I've dealt with not being able to really get pissed off for so long that I don't get that angry anymore. I never was the super mad guy. But, I mean, I have a feeling that someday I'm just going to go out in the middle of a field and just explode. That's what I think is probably going to happen. But I don't think I carry a lot of anger with me, you know. But sometimes a little bit of my anger can make other people real angry. And so I just try not to be that mad. I don't have time to get hassled. You know what I'm saying, Boat? What about you?
I don't. Well, you know, most things in life anger me. And so the way that I deal with it is I just wait until our podcast each week and then I just take it all out on you. That's what I do.
I find you quite easy to get to deal with, Boat, most of the time. You know,
I think it's
every once in a while we have a little throwdown.
Relative to the other people in your life, maybe. But I will say that you are an excellent doormat. You know, I could come to you and I could treat you like garbage and you'll fold like Superman on laundry.
Did you have to say it like that?
Listen, I'm giving you a compliment.
Are you trying to enrage me right now?
I'm enraging you, Aaron, because it's time to talk about Savage.
I don't need your help to get fired up for this one, brother. Oh, man. Has there ever been a game that had a better opening than that? The answer is no. That's the best, most fired up opening. I mean, this game could be absolute garbage, but it's got that. It's got that awesome opening. I love it so much.
It does. All right, Aaron, let's talk a little bit about Savage. So Savage originally released in 1988 for the Commodore 64, ZX Spectrum and the Amstrad. And then on its second wave of releases the next year later, guess where it ended up? That's right. Your old pals, the Amiga, the Atari ST, and the DOS port.
You couldn't. It was so good. It had to get ported to everything. I can't believe it.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Now, these guys, the publishers of Savage, Firebird Software. Firebird, if you're familiar with the British computer scene at all, you will know that Firebird has released so many games. They're credited on Mobi with over 200 releases from 1984 to 1990. They were mostly a budget label, and then they gradually increased. That you have your Firebird, your Rainbird. I think there was even a third one that was even higher than Rainbird.
Dirty Bird.
That's right. But anyway,
did you
Firebird.
Know- About Firebird, all these birds. I read that that they were the software arm of like something like British Telecom or something.
That's right. That's exactly. I do remember reading that in one of the books that I read on the Spectrum. It was like I think it was British Telecom. They wanted to branch out into software, and so they're like, all right, we're gonna make this label. So
can you believe that this game is somehow connected with British Telecom? This should have been what happened when you called an operator. That song should be playing.
Right, right. Maybe this is what led to privatization. I don't know. So this was the developers were Probe Software. Probe Software has also been around forever. They came of age in the early 80s. Were later bought by Acclaim. If you want to get bought by somebody, Acclaim is not who you want to get bought by. But they released tons and tons of software for all the computers and consoles.
They did some really good fighting game conversions. Like the PC, and there's a couple of they did a lot of conversions.
Well, yeah, even I think on ARG one week that you guys did one of the Mortal Kombats on Game Boy, and I was stunned because both of you gave it a pretty good review.
Well, it's a Game Boy.
You don't agree?
No, I'm just saying. I agreed on a curve when it comes to portables. But, I mean, I think as a company, I think Probe, a lot of people don't like Probe. But, I mean, I thought they did some good stuff. They weren't the worst, that's for sure. They were better than Acclaim, that's for sure.
Well, they did, for example, they did the Arkanoid Amiga port, which is, one of the best Amiga ports. It was an early release in 86. Of course, Brent hates Arkanoid, but we got to talk about it.
See, you're enraging me again.
They did the Genesis and the Lynx port of Road Blasters, which I've played on the Lynx. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. So anyway, a little backstory on, now I don't have any of the additional, the coder on this, Grant Harrison. He worked on Super Bowl for the C64. Underworld, looks like he did a lot of these ports for the C64 things, and the graphics were done by Stephen Crow. Stephen Crow he continues to be active all the way into the 2020s, so he did the graphics and then music. This is a guy that I haven't heard of before. You heard of Jaron Tell before, Aaron?
I don't think so, but he's the finest music maker of all the times, Boat.
I was going to say, they should have called this guy more often than Alistair Brimble. No offense to Alistair, but this guy, man.
I will say one thing. What's his name again, Boat?
His name is Jaron Tell.
His music, the in-game music, is the least appropriate of all the times.
Yes.
Unless this game takes place in a large medieval style disco or something, or an 80s club. But the music's not bad. The awesome opening theme, but the rest of it's pretty good. It's stuff that you wouldn't like, obviously. I don't think. Did you like it?
I love this. I thought the music was the best part of the game by far. I mean, this is, it's so wacky. It's, let's just talk about it. What it is it's sort of like a jazzy bass riff with a lot of random samples thrown in. And then you've got somebody going, Savage, at opportune times.
We were speculating who that was. And who it sounds like to me, it sounds like Vince McMahon is introing Randy Macho Man Savage in like a ring, and he's like, Savage! That's exactly the way he used to say it. So I wonder if they sampled Vince and just cut the Macho Man off on that. That's my guess, anyway.
So let's talk about what the manual has to say about Savage, okay? Because the very first thing you're going to do when you load this thing up is you're going to crack this open. Because you're desperate for the backstory, okay? Here we go. Fired by rage, Savage plunges into an orgy of violence, wielding his trusty battle axe in a manic fighting frenzy, dispatching all who stand in his way. You know, Aaron, when you think about an orgy of violence, that's it, right there.
What you just read, that was like the musical opening of Words. Like, that gets you fired up. If I'd read that, I'd have had a heart attack right there on the spot. I got to get in there. Beautiful.
And so what you have here is this is your classic story of a maiden getting kidnapped and you, the muscular hero with your weapon, battling through to rescue her. However, this is really, Aaron, three games in one. What you have here is you've got a side-scrolling platforming level. You have a 3D Space Harrier type level. And then you have a sort of open world maze type game on the third level. What's especially interesting is that you do not have control over your Savage in the third level. The third level, you're unable to infiltrate the castle on your own, so you have to call upon your trusty Eagle to actually rescue the maiden. Not really sure how that works in actual life. You know, say the Eagle flies into the room where the maiden is. What's going to happen there?
Well, you know, this is your classic heavy metal situation. If you ever seen that movie where the hot chick rides around on the eagle looking dinosaur gimmick, hot chicks and flying stuff, they get down. It's good. Mm. You know, and I'll tell you something else about Savage. So you were kind of saying he couldn't infiltrate it. See, your bad mouth is going to be sort of like Beastmaster. You know what I mean? You know,
Never seen Beastmaster. What is Beastmaster?
It's a guy who can talk to and he talks to animals. He's like Dr. Doolittle had a kid. You know, Singer played
him. Bored.
Oh yeah, he was super cool. He had a couple ferrets and he had a hawk and crap with him. He was awesome. And a tiger or something like that. But this guy Savage is sort of like a Kmart Lionheart. Because think about it. He's got a sword, Lionheart's got a sword. He's got an opening where you go through a big door. Lionheart goes to a big door at the beginning of his game. This guy's got like an eagle. Lionheart's got that thing he rides around. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So that's
I can see these guys hanging out at the bar. You know what I'm saying? Later.
That's a t-shirt that needs to be made.
That's
Savage and Lionheart
hanging
out at the Mime and Puppet Bar.
And they've both got great music. They can have the great mm-hmm. themes when they come in, you know?
Yeah.
That's where the similarities end, Boat.
So let's break each one of these down one by one, shall we? Aaron, tell me about your thoughts on the first phase of this game, the side-scrolling passage.
The first phase of the game by the time the game thing ends, you're fired up and you're ready for some great gaming. Well, that's too bad, sucker, because what you've got here, it's your classic half the screen's taken up with garbage. Half the screen is where you play.
This is a full on 50% HUD.
Yeah.
The top part of the HUD is a graphic. Sort of, you've got some precious stones on the sides, dragon face or a snake face.
It's cool looking. Don't get me wrong. This is the answer to what game does Cool Guy Style like? This is the game right here. That's got a cool skull guy. The problem is, so right there, half screen gone. This is the old, it worked fine on the 8-bits. Why should we change? That sort of thing. And so then, so your guy runs through the dungeon about, I don't know, what, 7-8 frames per second here. I mean, they don't animate any of his leaps or jumps.
Yeah, his jump animation's right out of Huckleberry Hound.
Yeah.
For sure.
You're right. You're not wrong. I hadn't thought about that game for a while, but you're not wrong. And you fight a never-ending array of, just crap that just flies up to get killed over and over. Now, you can pick up power-ups. Sometimes a power-up gives you, lightning bolts. Sometimes it gives you more axes. Sometimes it gives you, a floating, shield ball, I guess the best thing you could call it. But you go through this first part. I will say they give you an ample health bar at the beginning of this thing. And I wasn't hating it. I mean, it's your guy throws battle axes, the endless supply of axes from his portable
hole.
It's all
like a lot like Gods in that way.
Well, yeah, I guess. I never thought about those two in a room. But the problem is, like, if they just stuck to, like, going left to right and shooting stuff, I mean, it would have sucked, but it would have been tolerable suck. But then they were like, what this game needs is some platforming elements. That's what we need, brother. And the problem is, you've got Huckleberry Hound here going into the platform town and having played Huckleberry Hound, not good. Because this guy does jump, much like the Huck. He basically, it's a stiff leg jump. He actually, if you look at the way he jumps, he gets in the proper pose. An added bonus, he's got that cape. I mean, he stops looking cool the second he comes off the ground. He looks like the biggest geek on earth.
He really reminds me in track and field too, where you do the triple jump and the jumps in between. That's what you look like.
It's like in the middle of the air, you're posing for the top of a trophy. You know, it's like, bang! And then there's that. But as you go through the level, there are platforms you have to go over. You have to jump over fire. Of course, that kills you if you jump in. Then you have to, they roll stuff at you. Stuff comes out of the ceiling. Stuff comes out of the floor. I mean, it's just a lot of, basically, it's just a lot of stuff. Just stuff coming at you, and you just shoot it.
Yeah.
Occasionally, I'll go ahead, Boat.
This is basically monster corridors where you're going from left to right, and it's just endless waves of bad guys in the classic 8-bit computer style. This is a game that was not out of place at all on any of the 8-bit computers at the time. I mean, there were a million games that were just like this.
But it's out of place here. Because an added bonus feature, this I will say I did enjoy this, is occasionally some mystery narrator comes in to give you a kudo or to badmouth your stupidity. It just occasionally just shows up on the screen with these words like, well done, or just laughs at you. So that guy's a jerk sometimes. But eventually you get your way to it towards the end, you fight the boss, you're out the door, Boat. What did you think about this? Your assessment any different than mine?
Well, you know, here's the thing. There are, what am I looking for in a platforming game? This is chosen by the game selection committee as a shooter. Yeah. I would say this is really more of a platforming game, although you do shoot a great amount of projectiles. What do I want? I want a variety of enemies, okay? This game delivers that. You've got a bunch of different enemy types, okay? I want to be able to fling. I want to be able to fling projectiles out at a rapid clip, okay? There's nothing that makes me angrier than not being able to just shoot a whole bunch of junk out of my body, okay? You can do that in this game, okay? I felt like a man when I was playing this part of Savage, okay?
Yeah.
The next thing I want is I want some items. I want some stuff to pick up, but I don't want a million different things to pick up. I want, you know, easily recognizable, something for my score, something for my health, and maybe a weapons upgrade, okay? Bam! It's got it all, Aaron. It's got it all. This game, this part of the game, not too bad. Not too bad. Now, where it falls apart, the platforming. Like you said, if this would have just been a straight-ahead affair, where you might have had to negotiate, some jumping puzzles that didn't result in your death. Maybe you're just trying to avoid enemies. But this game is so unfair because the jump mechanic is so stiff. And then there's also you're operating on two different planes as well. You've got an upper plane and a lower plane that you switch between by hitting the down button. And you're never going to want to switch between the planes when you want to. You'll always hit down for some reason when you don't want to. And it's just, it's no good. That part of the game is no good.
I hated that. I forgot about the planes. The planes suck. The planes.
This is not horrible. So far, it's not horrible.
Wow. You're being very courteous to Savage. Good move. Don't want to piss him off. I will say, I thought this was low rent. I didn't think it was that good. But I will say, it's not boring. And also, you're right. He does throw a lot of axes. And it doesn't get old. Because you normally die. Wasn't there plenty of power-up? There's plenty of health. I mean, you're not skimpy with the power-up. So I will say that. And if
again,
you're patient,
you know,
you can get through it pretty easy, I thought.
Yeah.
Except for the jumping.
And I felt... Yeah, I felt like, except for the jumping, which of course you have to deal with if you're playing this game, you know, I was able to move through the levels. I have such a low bar for quality when it comes to Amiga platformers that I'm willing to accept almost anything.
Are you?
I mean, at this
me?
Point in my life. And so this is not bad. Now, we need to move on, however. Now, normally in a game, to move on to the next part of the game, you're just taken to the next part of the game.
Yeah.
But in this game, you've got three different games in one. And to switch between the games, you have to restart the game. You have to physically restart the game. Aaron, did you find any reasoning why this is?
I think, well, I could listen. What does this sound like to you? It sounds like playing games with the Spectrum or the Amstrad on tape. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like this. It sounded like the way you load stuff off tape. I don't know. I thought was goofy. To be honest with you, I had trouble. I played this on the Mister, and me and some other guys had trouble getting this to load. I had to load the intro separately from everything else. I'd load the intro and then start over. Then load level one, then start over. Then load level two, and then start over. And I wasn't sure if it was the Mister or that was the way it was made. And I'm still not sure. But if that's the way it was made, that's incredibly stupid.
Yeah, this is the way it was made. Because I read...
I
read some contemporary... Yeah, I read some contemporary things saying that this is a game where it just came like that. It came with, in order to switch between the three games, you have to physically restart the game and go back. It's not like it's totally different than any other game I've ever played where you have to physically restart the computer to switch the game. You know, you can't, you don't move from one level to another. I'm talking about when you beat a level. Of course, at the beginning of a game, you're going to have to restart it. But
you're playing,
so anyway.
Daily Thompson or something on the Sinclair ZX Spectrum. Yeah, yes. Then you would have to load the next level. It's, you know, I've seen that on the tape, but on the Amiga disc-based system, I don't know. Maybe that was supposed to be like a feature. If you didn't like one level, you could just not play it, I guess, sort of.
That's true, and I think that having a level select is never a bad thing, and they actually handicap it in a really fair way. What they do is when you beat a level, you get a password. And then when you restart your system to go to the next level, you can type in that password, and I think you get 3 lives. If you don't have that password, you can play the next level, but you only get 1 life. So it's a way for you to check out everything the game has to offer, but it incentivizes you to complete the levels in order. So I actually thought that part of the game, again, another part of the game that's well done.
I'm going to call that lazy, goofy, and stupid. That's what I'm going to call it. I'm not. Listen, don't give me that boat. They couldn't even get the level system right in their own game. What the heck were they thinking? Stupid.
Maybe they. I don't know if they're. But anyway, we move on to the second part of this game. So the second part of this game is a space hare. Well, first of all, the title screen greets you, Savage by Probe. So they never let you forget who's in charge of the game.
That's a bad name, by the way.
You have this looks sort of like Battlezone, wouldn't you say? Like the way that the HUD is set up?
This level is the worst. It's the dirt worst, Boat. I hate this level so much. It was so stupid. It's you mentioned that it was like, what'd you say it was like?
Well, it's like Space Harrier, sort of.
It's like, I mean,
it's like Battlezone and Space Harrier together.
Battlezone and Space Harrier are thousands of times better than this. This is like it's generic cycling of colors as crap flies towards you. What game does that remind you of? Nothing, because it's too stupid to have been a previous game. This is the dirt worst. And what happens here, you start the level, and you don't know what's going on. You instantly get killed, and then if you didn't put in the code, game over. So you had to start over and over. I hit those stupid pillars over and over. Explain the level. I don't want to get too mad before you explain it to them.
So it's like Battlezone in that it is a first-person perspective, okay? So it's like there's a camera mounted in the center of your forehead as you're flying across this plane, okay?
I assume he's running, walking, is he on the bird?
Oh, he's got to be flying. Maybe this is also from the bird's perspective. They never spell it out.
Bird's eye view.
Yeah, and but it's like Space Harrier in that you have all of these weird alien things approaching you. You've got spinning skulls, and you've got demons and things like that, and you've got these things that look like demonic tiki statues that kind of pop out of nowhere as part of the landscape, and you can't destroy those. If you run into one of those, it's over, okay? Now, you might ask yourself, what's the point of this level? Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to provide you with that information.
We're not
on this
philosophers.
There is a picture in if you look at the lore, it says that this is part of the game where you're on your way to the castle. Okay, And you do see a castle in the background. However, you don't get any closer to the castle, which would have been awesome. There's no map or there's no sort of distance meter that shows you if you're getting closer to the castle. And if you watch a playthrough, the castle has nothing to do with it. You beat this level by surviving for a set amount of time. That's it. Once you do that, this level stops. You get a password. You've got to turn your computer off and turn it back on and move to the third level. What do you think, Aaron?
They should, first of all, instead of being like Space Harrier, this should be like called Space Barrier. Because all you do is hit barriers on this level. Mm-hmm. Horrible. This is a horrible level. It does everything that we hate. They shrink the game to a postage stamp and with about a million needless crap on there, number one. Number two, the scrolling effects are low, the lowest of the low end. I mean, it's crap. It's just cycling blue, like different colored stripes. The mountains mm-hmm. don't scale. I mean, for God's sakes, this is 89. This is the best you could come up with. I mean, the only thing I can say is the gradient sky looks okay, but I mean the rest of it's garbage. It's just so freeform, just crap flying at you from all over the place. It's
very Top Banana-esque, you know. Yeah,
no, listen, I hate to say this, but Top Banana was more playable than this level. Like this is sub Top Banana. Like in Top Banana, you can like beat the first level, feel like you accomplished something. I mean, Top Banana is more abusive. You know, but this thing here is just, it's a lazy drunk. It just lumbers through and you just sit there shooting and you're the projectiles you shoot suck. They're like reverse fireworks. I mean, I don't know. What is he shooting there? It's a ring of, what's he throwing? Like sparklers or something?
Yeah, it looks like sparklers. And it's worth noting that your projectile never actually hits the enemy. It forms an ever decreasing circumference of stars, and then the enemy just explodes. It's a pretty lazy effect as far as the monster destruction goes.
You know what this reminds me of, Boat? I got it. You remember those old Laserdisc games? Like a lot of times they would just take some video footage, right, and then just put some crap over it, and there's your game, right? This is like that. But they were too stupid and lazy to put any good footage under this. So they just cycled some colors on some stripes and just randomly put out crap. Horrible.
Yeah.
This is the dirt worst.
That's not a bad take. I agree with that. If they could have taken out those scrolling colors and put in something interesting to look at. But really, like I said, this plays horribly. It's insanely difficult, and it's not difficult in a way that you could easily get better at it, because the way that your main impediment in this game are these barriers. Now, Pajako does point out, or I'm sorry, Dunk points out in the chat that one cool thing about these guys is that imagine if you're watching or if you're listening at home, imagine tiki statues, right?
Yeah.
And imagine as you fly close to them, their mouths open, okay? That's the one trick this game gets right, okay?
That's it.
That's the trick.
So basically, the things that menace the Brady Bunch have been put back into a game. Right. Once again, that's not that good, Boat.
No, you know, it's not. These things can be anywhere on your screen, and they will destroy you. It doesn't have to be a dead-on hit, but it's difficult to know exactly what to do. It's difficult to know how to do it. And when you do it, you feel no sense of accomplishment because you don't know what you've done. And I don't know if there's any worse thing to say about a game than that.
And, you know, let's back up for a second, because I know we'd like to move on, but I'm not done. Think about this happening in real time, okay? Pretend Savage is going to the castle, okay? Pretend in your mind. So okay. Savage takes off running towards the castle, okay? And it's like a Daffy Duck cartoon. He just keeps ramming into stationary objects over and over, you know, or like a Sideshow Bob. He just keeps hitting this stuff. Like, is he an idiot? Like, just why are you moving so fast? Slow down. Like, well, what are
he's
you
He's fired by rage. That's what happens.
So that makes you an idiot. This makes you randomly run into huge pillars. And the thing is, this game is so low-end that you just like the pillars. I mean, in real life, if you see like a three-story pillar, it's a big totem pole and it's off in the distance, you know, you've got like, it's just like that scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. There's a guy off in the distance, there's a guy off the distance. Suddenly he's right in your face and he's stabbing you. It's the same thing. You know, what they didn't
You're
have,
right.
They didn't,
That's a great comparison.
They don't give you any notice. Like, you're running along like an idiot in your fur loincloth, and all of a sudden, to your right, a stationary tower pops off and just hits you. Why? What the hell happened? I don't get it. I'm done. Stupid.
All
this
right.
is horrible.
That is level two. Level three.
Oh, I forgot one thing. Hold on. What is going on with this screen with all this crap at the bottom? I mean, what is this guy hooked to a visor? There's flashing lights, and what are these things with the minus signs in them? Like, what is all that? What are we looking at here? Does
and
Savage
again,
have a
it's
spaceship?
Almost like, I feel like maybe they had an idea. Maybe these were three games that were just sort of, they were supposed to be separate games. They couldn't finish them all out. And so what they did was, hey, we've got three half-finished games here. Let's put them all on one disc and ship it as Savage.
It's like Action 52 with a killer opening and only three games.
Yeah.
There you
yeah.
go.
So,
I'm sorry.
And we're not even done with the third game yet. Oh. Let's talk about level three.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, give us a bird's eye view, if you will, of level three.
Remember that game we played where you play the Psygnosis owl? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He was a real cool animated owl. And he flies around. It's got that really cool piano music in it. I mean, it wasn't the best game, but it was that owl looked great. Remember how animated he was? And the backgrounds are all cool. Okay, now, think of like that in your mind, agony. Thank you, Dunk. Think of that in your mind, but pretend it's Amigathon from a couple years ago. And they're like, Boat, we need you to render this game in deluxe paint. Get in there. And then this is ultimately what you would come up with. Like, it's a low-end bird driving simulator where you fly around the screen shooting stuff out of your face and butt, and we'll get into that. But it's true. That's exactly what you do. And you
well,
go through
I
this,
do.
Like, maze, and then you try to shoot stuff so you can advance through the maze. I never got to the end of the maze, by the way, on this. This is another level with a bunch of, like, stuff that they gave one frame of animation. There's some particularly vicious death in this scene. If you get your bird smashed or shot, he falls in these pits and becomes a big bloody mass. The Savage guy, nowhere to be seen in this scene. Like you said, he must have got a buddy, you know, because you could. Why is he riding this thing or something? Like a cool guy. Like, where'd he go? You know, what's happening?
Well,
where's the guy?
Yeah, well, so according to the lore again, I'll go back. It says, you know, it says at this point, Savage makes the decision to return to the castle to reclaim his magical powers. Yeah, his name is Savage.
Okay.
He's like Macho. Okay. And rescue his maiden from the clutches of the Dark Guardians. They do name the bad guys. Okay. However, the path he chooses to the castle brings him to a different and locked entrance. Okay. So Savage, instead of just fighting his way into the castle like he probably should have, he calls upon his trusty eagle to fly into the labyrinth to rescue. So they've already switched where he is. It's no longer the castle. Now it's the labyrinth to rescue his maiden and his special powers. I believe that this manual was put together by three or four different people that did not know each other.
You know, think about it. This idiot runs cross-country through all those totem poles, and it shows up at the wrong freaking door after all
the
that.
The wrong door.
It's like, well, I give up. So what happens if the eagle finds the chick? Does she go home with him? Is that how it goes down?
Yeah, it's a Gwaihir the Windlord situation. That's what happens.
What did you think about this goofy level?
So this is the best level of the game.
What?
It just is.
Okay,
this
go ahead.
This is the best level. This part of the game... Okay, number one, I think that you're underselling the way that the eagle looks. I think the eagle looks fine. I think he looks good. Does he look as good as Agony Bird? No. Okay, but I mean, that was all Agony had going for it was how good the owl looked. Okay, you what you're doing is you're flying around a big old maze. Okay, you're shooting projectiles out of your mouth and your butt. And you are destroying enemies, you're collecting energy, and you're trying to find your way to the end of the maze, okay? This is a fine concept for a game, okay? There's nothing wrong with this. What it's missing, though, is any sort of something that makes it unique. You know, it's about as generic as it comes. The game, the maze itself is beautifully rendered. You're going to have to make a map. Yeah, I mean, I think it's colorful. I think that the stones and everything look good. I think the enemies look good. Your death animation looks cool. I mean, what don't you like about the way it looks?
Well, I don't think it looks that good, if I'm honest. There are enemies that come into view. Like, there's like a big devil guy. He literally just lurches up with zero animation. He just appears out of nowhere and floats around. How do you justify that?
Not everything is animated great. Okay, I'll give you that.
No.
But this is, I think if this game were be released on its own and they could have added one or two unique items, maybe some power-ups or something that you could do that would make this game less of a slog to just get through the maze. Like if they put in some items or something like that, like maybe you have to find keys and doors. Of course, again, you're also a bird, so you don't have, you know, posable thumbs. So that would get in your way of opening keys and stuff like that. But I don't think this part of the game is bad at all. Yeah, like a button.
Door entry.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And so this is now the problem is this is the problem.
Uh-huh.
By the time that you get to level 3, you are savaged out. You do not want to play any more savage. And so this level, even though I think it's the best one, is wasted because the first two levels are so bad. That's my take.
You know, for people listening on the radio, we just saw the game being beaten. For the Eagle, I mean, and I'm going to get back to him. Don't get me wrong. But the Eagle zones in this stuff in a cage. And then you go to the end screen with these big, stupid font underneath the stupid picture, okay, of Savage with his chick.
At least it has an end screen.
This sucks. This sucks. All right? What is it? Number one, where's the bird? He's the one that's to save the chick. Why is Savage standing there? Never since that one chick got kissed by that geek in that one game that we make fun of all the time has something
Jim
been this stupid. Jim Power. This is even lamer than that. At least that's funny. This just makes me mad. Now, getting back to the bird level, listen, there are so many things wrong with this level. It's getting past it involves you just dying. All right, it's so tight to the bird, you can't see hardly anything in front of you or behind you. And so if you're going up or down a passage and there's an enemy there, something that shoots or something floating around, you can't see it. You just got to hope you don't run into stuff when you go up and down. So it's one of those games where you literally have to hope. It's got to do a skill. You just got to hope that you don't get hit. And that's not a game. Those are random acts of violence is what that is. It's an orgy of stupid deaths. It's not a fun orgy of violence. This is just flying your bird around. I'll admit, the bird looks okay. But, I mean, the bird fires shots out of its butt. And you know why that happens? I'll tell you why. It's not because he went to Taco Bell or some crap. It's because during the making of this game, sure as I'm sitting here, Bo, you mark my words, someone was like, listen, this level's too tough. We've got to do something to get this thing a wider shot variety. What can we do? It's like, well, we need a shot from the butt. And that's just what they did. They didn't try to justify or make it cool or have the shot kind of careen out and float down. They were just like, just make the fire come from its butt. No one will care. And they were right. You know, it's horrible. Horrible game design. Bad.
Now, Aaron, let me ask you a question. Let's put this within the context of the year that it was released, because that's something that we always try and do, okay? 1989. It's Chuck D. What were you playing in 1989, and was it better than Savage?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't have the dates memorized. You tell me what came out in 1989. By the way, everything, I will say, I can say without even looking at the diagram that everything I played was better.
Well, I can tell you that it was a huge year in video games.
Yeah.
This is when the NES had fully taken over in the United States as being the gaming platform of choice. But you also had the release of the Sega Genesis, so you had that going on. And of course, the Game Boy was released in 1989. So if you were a man of means or a woman of means, you were spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
I will say that SimCity was released in 1989. Final Fight, 1989 game. Strider, Prince of Persia, Aaron, 1989. Would you rather play any of those games or Savage?
Any of those games. But let's break it down here, because we had a good time. It's been an orgy of violence towards this game, right? But let's face facts. We both know what this is. They took an 8-bit game. How many times have we complained about this? They took an 8-bit game. If this is on the Spectrum, it's still not that good, but it's okay. And they're like, we'll just move it up to the old 16-bits, and we'll get some guy to write a bunch of music for it. It'll be great. No. Stop doing that. You've still got half a screen. They didn't even take advantage of any of the stuff the Amiga could do to make that second level palatable. It's exactly like it would have been on the 8-bits. It's absolute garbage. And the thing is, what really pisses me off about this is, it's got this awesome opening. The gate comes up. They're playing that music, Savage. I'm so fired up to play this game. I played this on stream last week. I couldn't, because I played the C64 version, and I thought, this has got to be better than that. You know, I got to see what the Amiga version, I got to get into it. No, wrong, bad port, unnecessary port. We just played Black Lamp a couple weeks ago, me and Britt on the Atari. It's the exact same gimmick. You can't take it, I mean, it's very rare where you can take an 8-bit title and just sort of slightly tweak it and put it on a 16-bit system. You look like a geek when you do that. No good.
Do you think that 1989 was about the last year where you saw people getting away with this sort of thing, you know, taking? Because I really feel like the Amiga really hit its stride in around 1990, starting in 1989. But do you think that this was around the last time that you really saw games like this?
Hell no. I'm sure they did it right up to the end of the Amiga and the Atari ST. Because people are lazy. They're lazy bums. They don't want to do anything new or unique. I mean, listen, in the old days, this is what you did. In the new days, you just do sequels to everything. Endless sequels named after the year. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to put over today's game makers. They're the same kind of crap. They're just, like, tweaking it. I play a wrestling game, and some of the animations in that wrestling game have not changed for, like, a decade. All right? why mess with it? Well, you could tell. It's the exact same animation for, like, 10 years or more. So nothing's changed. Yeah. At least they gave this a rocking awesome soundtrack and opening. I'll give them that. That's all they got going for it. I mean, at least the first level, there's a certain hilarity to it. It's dopey fun. You know what I mean? But the rest of it was just dopey. I didn't like it.
Well, this game did not review particularly well in the magazines.
Shocker.
Amiga Computing gave it a 76. AUI, 5 out of 10. Your Amiga did give it an 89. That's sort of the outlier. The average magazine rating, according to Lemon, 76%. I would give this a solid. This is a. Would you give this a solid C?
No, God, no. A C. Man, I wish Amiga Joker got their hands on this. They would have went. Amiga Joker's staff would have went to Probe and just pulled them out of the studio and started putting the boots to them, and I'd have been right there with them. No, this is a big. I want to give this a D+. I'm going to. Strictly because if I bought this and I saw the, you know, I went and saw the Mortal Kombat, the first one I saw in the theater, you know, and the opening of that movie, bump, 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 is fire. I mean, I wanted to jump out of the seat and behead the guy next to me. I was so fired up. But then the movie started and it wasn't that good, but it was still better than this. But that's what this game reminded me of. The opening of this is one of the best things I ever saw. And then I talk about a letdown. Orgy of Violence, no good. No. So D-. I'm going to give it that because of the opening.
We got some reviews this week. Our first one comes from Alien Breeder. He says, "So, Savage. I have to admit, this is one of the few times I wasn't actually really familiar with the game being reviewed. there's likely a good reason. 1989. Speaking of 1989, listen to this litany of games that Alien Breed release.
All right.
Xenon 2, Silkworm, Switchblade. Forget about Switchblade.
No.
Stunt Car Racer, Shuffle Pet Cafe, R-Type, It Came from the Desert, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Maniac Mansion, Batman, Battle Squadron, and the biggest killer for this one, Shadow of the Beast.
Do you like this more or less than Switchblade, Bode? I was thinking about Switchblade the other day.
I prefer this to Switchblade.
Me too.
Yeah, any day of the week. There's nothing to recommend Switchblade.
Plus, it doesn't seem so pompous.
I continue to read from Alien Breeder. He says, add into this the fact that the game is just not very good and you don't have much of a chance. Graphically, it's a mixed bag. A third of the screen is taken up by a graphic, but the characters are big. Some are well-drawn in a similar style with that Wrath of the Demon would use 2 years later. Backgrounds are sparse and use garish colors at times. A year earlier, this might have been interesting graphically, but not in the same year that Shadow of the Beast arrived. And considering the gameplay was probably a bit worse than Shadow, it all leads up to a pretty bad game. One major bright spot is the music. Even if you aren't a fan of this style, it's still very impressive. And if you ever forget what you're playing, the music will definitely remind you. Overall, even with the music, this one gets 510 top bananas out of 1,000. Pajaco 6502 writes, I completed this game and never need to play it again.
Oh.
Did I cheat? Heck yes, because no human alive is getting through this game without infinite lives. The first game is a cheap platformer with some dodgy jumps and endless baddies designed to slow you down. My wife said the main character looked like he was wearing a diaper, by the way. The second game is migraine-inducing and a Space Harrier knockoff. The weird thing is you have up and down in this game, but it serves no purpose, as you can just play by moving left or right to find and destroy floating baddies until you get to play game number three. Game 3 is the best of the bunch, but it's just a large, repetitive maze with no real idea of what you're supposed to do or where you're supposed to go. But you play as an eagle that can poop fireballs, so that makes it a winner in my book. I reached the end, rescued the maiden, and lived happily ever after. If this hadn't been on other systems, I would have sworn this was 3 subpar random games that Probe had laying around and just slapped together. The fact that it isn't and you have to reset the machine between games make this even weirder. On the 8-bits, especially the Speccy, this looked pretty neat, but on the Amiga, not great. I've played far worse, though. 5 out of 10 for me, and most of that is the soundtrack on level 1. Savage! And finally, Duncan Styles writes, I just love the crazy music. I'm guessing the musician was a fan of the Art of Noise. On the CPC, this game is pretty good and stunning to look at, but the Amiga could have done so much more. I think those reviews pretty spot on, Aaron.
I agree with every one of those reviews. This was a dud with good music, and in some ways it endeared itself to me. And the funny thing is, I looked, you know, it's like I would, because you know how I am, Bode. I thought, you know, I kind of like to own this, right? And so I looked into buying it. Well, guess what?
I'm eager. Yeah,
it costs a ton.
Does it?
Yeah, and so I'm looking at an ST version. I'll go there. It's a little bit cheaper. Oh, yeah. It's the exact same thing. But I mean, anyway, it goes. This easily would make it on my Dirt Worst show if I ever make it. This is Dirt Worst with some flair to it. That's for sure. But overall, I think I can speak for both of us, Boat, when I say not savage orgy of crap.
Welcome to Retro Rewind. I'm your host, British Jones. Whether you're into the Amiga, Commodore 64, or Tiger Floral Print speed suits, Retro Rewind has all you need from the friendly hosers of the Great White North. Looking to upgrade your Amiga? Check out the Amiga OS 3.2.2 Kickstart ROM for just $18. Or maybe you need a C64 or C128 diagnostic harness. Grab one while they're hot. Don't miss our best sellers, like the 1541 Transit Card for just $1. Or the incredible Amiga Coin Cell Battery Adapter. Shop now at Retro Rewind Limited and bring your classic computers back to life. Retro Rewind Limited. Frank's the man.
Amiga News.
Campbell Train.
All All right, Aaron, we had a huge week in the world of Amiga news. Lots of stories to talk about. The first one, this was posted on Facebook. I had to take a quick picture of the screen and put it here on the subreddit. By the way, if you're eager to check out any of these news stories, you can go over to reddit.com/AmigaNews, and you can, all of the stories are linked there. Feel free to comment on them too. Yorkshire Amiga is coming to Leeds. So this is the first Leeds meet. This is coming up in just a couple weeks, January 27th. Stunning picture here. I can only assume that this is the Leeds town center here. And they have a giant Amiga ball there. Very well done poster. Hats off to those guys. This is going down over at St. Margaret's Church over on Horseforth on Church Lane. They're going to have competitions, prizes, and snacks. Listen, yeah. If you've got snacks, I'm in.
Have you been to Yorkshire Boat or Leeds?
I have. Yeah, that's where Sheffield is. Yorkshire's the county. But I've not been to Leeds. The only thing I know about Leeds is I think there's a Who album called Live at Leeds. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, it looks good. I like to see how that goes.
You know, there's a different, the UK is so spoiled for choice when it comes to all of these different Amiga user groups. They list them all out here. You got Swag, Lag, Ant, Slag, Rag, Wag, and all the other UK user groups. So not only do they have a bunch of them, they've all got rad names. So, hey, go to Yorkshire Amiga, check it out, Leeds it up, and let us know how it was.
I'd go to all these things. Because you can get the whole, you can get there pretty quick if you're centrally located. It's not like the States. We can't go to like Kansas or something. You can go about anywhere over there. That'd be cool.
Edmund says he hopes there's beer and cussing. So.
Well, if Edmund shows up, there will be.
All right. Next up, Aaron, we've just announced the date for Amigathon for this year. This is the 7th year.
Fucking. Okay. Sorry, and, something kicked up there.
Oh, there we go. Oh, and it's because the stream is playing on the page, so just mute that.
I did.
Oh, but it's still coming. Okay, never mind. I got it. Sorry, we screwed up, everybody. But we're moving on. Amigathon 2024. It's our 7th year, Aaron, and we have raised. Get this. Almost $30,000 for Children's Miracle Network hospitals in the past 7 years. You know, before this year, I never looked at our total. And if you would have asked me how much have you guys raised for Children's Miracle Network, I would be like, yeah, we probably raised about $10,000 in the past 7 years.
Yeah,
almost 30K. That's an unbelievable number. And we're doing it all again this year. It's going down February 10th. I should have actually put the poster on the page because I don't have the date on there. I think it's February 10th. We are going to be playing Amiga games for about 12 hours from about 9 to 9 here in Amigo Studios. We had a real fun, laid-back time last year. We plan on repeating that again this year. You can check out all the details and make your donation today, or you can wait till the event if you want to. Just head on over to Amigathon.com and follow us along. We love Amigathon. Aaron, you looking forward to it this year?
Oh, man. You know, last year I had so much fun. You know, I just like Thanksgiving. I just like to play a lot of games and just sit around and eat, play games. That's my bag. So if we can do that and raise a few bucks for charity, I'm down. The fact that we've been able to raise that much is a tribute to all of the people that just tune in. A lot of our longtime viewers and listeners come around and kick in, and it's a beautiful thing, man. Because I mean, that's real money, and it's going to a good cause. And you know, I don't know if people keep track of what's going on YouTube. There's been some charity events that went kind of sideways over the last year or so, and it's just one of the reasons why if you ever participate in Amigathon, like, we never ever touch any of this money. It goes directly to the charity. We don't want to touch it. We don't want to get involved. That's why we like going through the Children's Miracle Network. It's been a great and reliable partner for us for all these years, Boat. And I'm looking forward to this year. It should be a lot of fun, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. So once again, that is February 10th. I did check on the poster, and it's 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Please join us.
Hope it's not cold.
All right, Aaron. Next up, we have some new gaming news, okay? So this is this was a final release. I believe we teased this just a couple weeks ago. The 1988 arcade version of Tetris has been released for the Commodore Amiga 1200. This one, of course, I think most people, when they think about the original arcade Tetris, they think about the episode of ARG Presents where you guys did Pokey Games.
We played Tetris on there?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
That's no, what I think.
God, how do you remember that? My God.
So you can check this out. Now, is this the best version of Tetris? No. Sega did a version of Tetris that kills this. But this is the original arcade version. You can check it out, and you can play it on your Amiga in, I mean, pretty much perfect arcade quality. So
yeah.
It says this game does require AGA because the original game has 16 banks of 16 colors, which are dynamic. So, but anyway, big props to JOTD for coding this and putting it out there.
You know, you mentioned the best version, and that Sega version is quite good. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But this is the version of Tetris that helped sink my college career, along with Bad Dudes and a few other things. And Russell Fest is another one. They had this in the student center at Marshall. And like everybody else, I just got into it, man, big time. I mean, it's funny, it'd been out for a while, but it's evergreen, old Tetris. And this looks great. It's got I love the music on this. It's just a fun game, and Tetris is big in the news right now, so this could have came out at a better time. So, yeah, it looks great, and well done to everybody that worked on this one. It looks real nice, Boat.
Yeah. Now this next game here, you're going to be thrilled with this.
I heard about it. Somebody stooged this one off to me, Boat.
That's right. AMI Hero, a new Amiga game inspired by Activision's 8-bit game Hero. Now, Aaron, we just played a game where you negotiate different corridors, different, you know, indoor environments and a maze-like environment while you fly around as a bird. What makes Hero different than Savage?
Well, game mechanics, planning, the ability to create a level, the fact that it came out in like the early to mid-80s, there are plenty. And by the way, it's still better and will always be better than Savage. You know, we play this. Bob, do you remember when we played this on, like, was it the SG-1000 or something like that? It was one of the Sega systems, and they had that really cute version. This sort of reminds me of that in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. It's more colorful than the Atari 2600 version. It looks good though. I wish the screen was a little bigger because they've got the bottom of that screen's pretty huge down there, Boat.
That's a pretty substantial HUD. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, otherwise, it looks quite nice. And I'll be interested if they do anything, like if they get radical later on, try anything, you know, that you wouldn't have expected in the game. I was kind of skipping forward here to see if they had anything I wouldn't have expected. But, hey, it looks great. This is, I think I can say that this is both ours. We both love this one, don't we, Bo? I mean, we're both big fans
of
Hero.
Absolutely. I'm a big Hero guy.
Yeah. This looks great.
Now, our next story, Aaron, is Ravi. His Kickstart show, you know, every week, there's new information coming out. It's trickling out there. If you head over to amigashow.com, you can get all of the latest news. This is going down at Knott's County Football Club in Nottingham. He hasn't announced all of the special guests yet, but he is saying that there's going to be an exclusive new dedicated space just for talks and panels. The Trader Hall is bigger than better than ever. It's going to be hosted by some guys from the Amigos podcast from the USA. I don't know much about them, but I hear they're all right. And there's going to be a brand new venue, okay, for an after party with a headline performance by a chart-topping Amiga musician, Aaron. A chart-topping Amiga musician.
Is that Ravi?
No.
Oh.
It's a secret guest.
It could be the people that did the music for Top Banana. Remember them?
Maybe it will be. But think about it. What musician is at the top of the charts right now in the UK that uses an Amiga? You know?
I don't.
If you can solve the riddle, then you can figure it out before Ravi officially announces it.
There's a topic.
That's all I'm allowed to say.
My God. So
you've
got the inside scoop. Remember, you were supposed to get some inside scoops. That's just the clue is the scoop, I guess.
The clue is the scoop. The clue is the scoop. That's sort of my new tagline.
You know, I noticed he's got. I got a video here from Neil on here. I guess this is a preview or something.
That's from last year.
Is Neil heading over to this thing? Do you have any idea?
Neil is going to be there. I know that all the Psygnosis guys are going to be there.
Oh, they're going to beat your brains out, Bode. Are they really coming?
I'm going to be keeping a low profile when those guys are
around. That's awesome. This thing's going to be huge, Bode. I'm very excited for you, and I know you're fired up as well.
It's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to June. I just put in my – I have to renew my passport. I never thought I'd live long enough to have 3 passports, but here we are.
Hey, you're doing great, buddy.
MegaShow.com.
Walking Dead after doing Boat Fest, then that.
Lay
down for a while to that.
Next up, Aaron, this is a story that I didn't see really covered in a lot of the mainstream Amiga news. This is a newly discovered program called Magic Harp, okay? Right. And this was a program that came out back in the 80s for the Amiga, mid-1986, 87, that used AI to create music. We're all awash in talk with ChatGPT and all that stuff now. But there was a program for the Amiga, this Magic Harp program, that would use these algorithms and things to actually create entirely original pieces based on your chosen instrument and genre. How cool is that?
That is crazy. I'm trying to remember if I actually heard of this thing. And I don't think I did.
I think this was something that didn't really get maybe a huge release that most people had forgotten about, and so somebody has located the software and they've uploaded it, and so you can try it out. This might be a fun thing to do at Amigathon.
Yeah.
Fire this thing up and have it create some tunes on the fly.
It's got to be better than our tunes were, particularly mine.
Oh my God.
That was the dirt worst of songs. You know,
Let's not recall the creative competition.
How did you come up? How did you find this, Bo, if I may ask?
I found this from I follow all kinds of AI newsletters and things. And I was just flipping through one of them one day, and they're like, AI, Commodore Amiga, AI music from 1986. I was like, holy cow, that's going in the show.
I'm playing a little bit right now. I don't know if you, it's something. Let's just put it that way. That might be fun to play with, though. That's a good find, Boaster.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, a couple more stories here. This next one is a test of what you can do graphically with the Amiga. This is called the Hamulet test, an impressive animation display for the Commodore Amiga. If you're listening on the radio, it's going to be, this is what we're looking at here is just tons and tons of animation, the video game animation on the screen. You've got characters in movement. You've got flame effects. You've got parallax backgrounds. Everything going on at once. And this is one of these things where it's like, boy, if they could somehow harness all of this stuff into a playable game, they'd have a winner.
You know, having seen some of the games from Cammy's Game Jam last year, Amiga Jam, and a few other things I see, we're not far off. I mean, the graphics and stuff have gotten unbelievably good. I mean, look at Neo Noir as a good example of some really tight graphics. So, yeah. The Amiga could still go, brother. It's good to see. Yeah. Even you have to admit it, Boat.
Oh, NCAA, yeah. Listen. Brother. If we ever open up a game for Amigos and it looks like that, whatever the opposite of a burial is, that's why I'm going to be there to praise it, not bury it.
Okay, fair enough.
Finally, Aaron, this is not Amiga news, but we got to talk about it. A new mini console has just been announced, the Atari 400 Mini. Of course, it's just called the 400. Aaron, what do you think about the 400?
You know, I've got a 400 sitting back yonder right behind me, believe it or not. And it looks just like this is a huger. And we talked about what all the minis were going on, and I was always kind of down on them. I often mention that I'd love to see some of these computers get mini because this computers are a lot harder to load stuff on. I mean, for your average person, they're a much more difficult task. Even for someone like myself, if you've seen me try to load C64 stuff a couple weeks ago, it was continual pain in the butt. And I will say, having used Atari emulators, there are stuff you need to know to load them, and it's easy to screw up, like loading the wrong thing. Like, so when I see something that lets me play the stuff right out of the gate, and then, you know, much like the A500 Mini or the C64 Mini, I'm excited about it. We both know, and we've both held up the banner of the 8-bit Atari 8-bit line for many years, but people know that we are both big fans. There are so many unique games on there, and of course that system was around for so long. There's some real classic old stuff that you never see anymore. So this is exciting. I will say I was bummed out when I found out that the keyboard didn't work. I thought they were just going to ship something that had a working keyboard on it. And why I don't know why you would... this is one I don't know why you wouldn't just go right to the big boy on it. But because I don't like the idea of having a mini and then having to have a keyboard. It just bugs me. And now you've got the joystick. This comes with like an Atari joystick. And it has the ability to play 4-player games. I don't know how many Atari games there were that supported that many players. You'd know better than me. But were there lots of the ones that supported like 4 players on the Atari? They had the 4 joystick ports.
Especially early on, there were tons because they did have that 4-player. I mean, the ones that come to mind are basketball and mule. Those are the two that I know offhand, but there are more. Yeah. Listen, this is the first mini console that I've ever wanted even a little bit. There's something about the 400 that I've always liked. I love the kind of the very 7. It's a lot like the original PET. The PET 2001, where it screams 70s, you know? Yeah. It's got the beige, everything's brown and orange and yellow. I love the angular nature of it. It looks awesome. Because it is a mini console, you know, you can stick it on the shelf. And again, this is one of these things that I just like would like to admire. It doesn't bother me that it doesn't come with a keyboard, because this is the sort of thing that if I'm going to hook this up to if I wouldn't want to use a keyboard for some reason, I'll just hook up a wireless keyboard to it and plug it into my TV and then sit on the recliner. So that doesn't bother me. I would like to see more about how the game selection screen is going to look.
I've heard it's just like the C64 and the Amiga, that kind of thing.
Okay, so that same sort of thing. It would be interesting to know, now when you got the Amiga Mini, did it come, is it basically just a very bare bones selection thing? There's no like manual scans or anything like that in there?
No, I didn't see any in mine. You know, I'm looking at this boat, I'm trying to identify some of the games here that this thing comes with. I saw Millipede in there. I see Mule. I see Bruce Lee. I saw Berserk in here. Mm-hmm. Minor 2049er. Looks like Star Raiders 2. Looks like Crystal Castles is one of the selections. Mm-hmm. It says 25 games. I think that they show a few more here towards the end if we pay real close attention. It looks like Pit Stop 2 or Pit Stop 1, or not Pit Stop, but Pit, help me out here, Boat. Maybe it was Pit Stop. I don't know. One of the driving is or Pole Position. That's what I'm looking for. I don't think they've announced all the games, but the point of this is, like, just those games I mentioned, those are some good games. Minor 2049er, Mule, Bruce Lee. Those are like, I mean, I hope they get Blue Max on here is another one I would put in. You know what we like. There are plenty of great ones in here. So they've got 25 to choose from. You could easily pluck 25 great games from the Atari 8-bit lineup. And keep in mind, this thing is being billed as a machine that plays Atari 5200 games. So they could easily include 5200 game titles in here. I don't know how many 5200 games that weren't released as an 8-bit title. Can you think of any off the top of your head?
Like Meteorites is like the most valuable 5200 game. It was never released for the Atari 8-bit. A lot of the arcade ports weren't released for the Atari 8-bit. There's quite a few titles that have been backwards, back converted for the Atari 8-bit because the code is so similar. So this is something that if you've always wondered about the Atari 8-bits and you like having these little mini consoles because you think they look neat, this is your time to jump in. You know, $120, I think that's about sort of what these things always start at. Chances are, if you give it a couple, you know, months, they'll probably go down in price. You know, for me, this would be an instant purchase. It's somewhere around the 75 mark. I think 120 is still, it's asking too much. I think it's asking too much, but, yeah. This is the first one I'm tempted by.
I'm looking, I see Boulder Dash is up, which is another great game. I see Missile Command in there. I can't quite make out what, it looks like Donkey Kong maybe is up here. I can't quite make out any more from, I see Battle Zone is also on here. I would hope there are plenty of Atari titles you could go through. I'm anxious to see what they pluck out of the obscure area, you know, because there are plenty of, like, lesser known games that we find all the time when they're playing. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about it to a certain degree. Much like everything, I'm more excited when they release a full size version. That I think that's kind of neat. I like the interface on the A500 Mini. This one sounds like there won't be any hacking involved. It sounds like it's just they're going to let you play whatever you want on it, because they talk about putting a USB stick in it, just playing stuff. So I'm guessing they're not going to be cute. I don't know what the situation is. I'm assuming they're doing this hand in glove with the Atari Corporation. And so they could probably, since they've got this thing licensed, they could probably do whatever they want on there. And Atari's going to be down with it. So now, I mean, red tape.
Is this going to replace my 1200 XL with a Fujinet that's right next to me? No. But, man, I've always liked the 400. I've always liked the way that it looks. And I don't know. I might buy it. We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, Aaron, that's going to do it. That's going to do it for our news segment this week. What do we got coming up on Amigos next Friday?
Let's find out, Boachter. Bam. It looks like a little game called Harlequin. Boat Harlequin.
That's right. It is platforming games on the Amiga next week. Harlequin billed as maybe the strangest game of all time.
That's the billing on the box that says that?
That's the billing on the box. So,
oh, man, we'll see. That doesn't fill me with delight, Boat. I'm not going to lie. Oh, man.
All right. Well, we will be here to talk about it. Thank you, as always, for everybody who is watching live. We do broadcast live on Twitch and YouTube every Friday. And we want to thank everyone who supports our show on Patreon, patreon.com/AmigosPodcast. We got new magnets up for the new year. And we have a Discord community we would love for you to come and join. Guys, thank you, as always, for being with us. And we will see you next time. Until then. Adios.
Amigos is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Patreon supporters help choose the games we play, receive exclusive magnets, and get access to the Amigos Retro Gaming Discord server. Visit patreon.com/AmigosPodcast if you'd like to support the show and join our community.